Top. We're in Masechet Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. Just finished the Mishnah.
32a.
We just concluded the Mishnah yesterday, looking at the areas in which monetary law differs from capital cases. We said there were 10 areas. The Mishnah listed 10 different areas in which monetary law was different than capital crimes. Otherwise, generally speaking, the court procedure is the same in both, except for those. The Torah of Elazar. The procedure is the same for both cases. So, good morning.
Now he was late for some shamay. There was a guy here in the Hebrew section.
Yeah.
He spoke there so nice.
Oh, yeah?
Rabbi Nachman speaks so harsh. Like he said that even the Ben Adam Khoshev Shu Ma'amin. Yeah, he Ma'amin, but he doesn't Ma'amin speak on Hakol. And then he doesn't speak on this, so he says that הוא כאילו, הוא יכול להתבודדויות לשעות, אבל פתאום שיש דברים שהוא לא... להיות המאמין המציא זה לקבל שהכל זה על... שכל מה שהיה איתך תמיד, הכל לטובתך. אבל בפני הוא לא אמר זה, אז הוא אמר, עד כדי זה שהוא יגיד לקדוש ברוך הוא, תרד למטה לחמש דקות. אז חשבתי שאני מבין, אבל לא הבנתי בדיוק, אז הלכתי לשאול אותו, תרד למטה לחמש דקות, אני...
person gets angry that
Rabbi Nachman אומר דברים מהסוג הזה שיש לאנשים כזה למרות שהוא מאמין יש לו כזה כעס שהוא תראה למטה לחמש דקות
זה אנחנו מדברים על אנחנו לא על אנשים כזה so what's he saying? He's saying over here Rabbi Yaakov that was listening downstairs to someone speaking about him when I was giving a little bit of a drasha and he was saying that Rabbeinu said that although a person can have a munah there are times when a person just doesn't have it. He's like lost it. Just Hashem's not there, and he's. He believes. Why? Because he's got suffering and difficulties in his life, and I can't accept that all of this suffering is from God.
I can understand that.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. We are all, every single one of us, until we're the tzaddik gamor.
But he said that and then the person can be so angry that he wants to
hit Hashem.
Yeah.
No, he was saying that to what extent that a person can be so upset with God that he gave the expression. He says, "Come down here for 5 minutes and let me, right to Hashem." Right? Why does a person say that? Because he's being honest. Because you and me, well, let's speak for myself. Because I can't admit that I'm actually angry with Hashem because it doesn't sound good. I can't admit that I'm angry with Hashem. The truth is, I'm very angry with Hashem.
That's exactly what he said.
Part of my avodat Hashem, part of my growth, is to recognize it, to see that I'm angry with Hashem. Because if I just push it away, pretend that I'm not angry with Hashem. Oh, I love Hashem. Hashem's wonderful. I'm not. How could I be angry with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's so wonderful. Right? Sounds good. The truth is, I'm not built like that. I'm not. Man has in him bad midot, like anger. I get angry with everyone. I get angry with my wife. I get angry with my kids. I get angry with my Rav. I get angry with
only
Hashem. And I get angry with myself.
Only men or all the kolabriot, also women? All the...
Yeah, they get angry with too. They show it more. We hide it. They're more expressive. So, but I have to show, I have to admit that I'm angry with all of these people, because if I don't admit it, it just stays under the surface. And we carry on that way, it never gets resolved.
You're going to kill yourself.
No. You're going to be like everybody else, 99.9% of the population.
No, what
you go around with that. This anger that they hold inside
them. The anger that you hold inside, if it isn't let go,
no,
you're going to die from a heart attack,
no,
from the stress, or you're going to kill someone.
Disagree. Because that makes it sound like there are 5% of people who die from these things because they've got anger and they don't let go. And it's not the truth. There's 100% of people who have anger inside and they're not letting it go. They don't die from it, but it wrecks their life.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, worst case, he'll kill you.
Nahon, but it's not. We have to not look at worst case. We have to look at our case. Our case is it is happening inside of me right now. I am angry. I'm angry with my wife. I don't let her know it, for sure. I'm angry with myself. I beat myself up all the time. Right? I'm upset that I did this. I didn't do that. I didn't guard my eyes. All the usual stuff. I'm angry with myself. And I'm angry with Hashem for putting me into this position that I'm now, whatever, I'm suffering because of what I'm like. But that's good, it's okay. First of all, we have to accept it's good, it's okay. We're allowed to be angry. Hashem created the anger. Why? So that we can identify it, recognize it, and then get rid of it. But if we don't accept it and recognize it, then we can't get rid of it. So there's nothing to get rid of.
And build up.
We just pretend, how can I get rid of something I don't have? I don't have any anger. How can I ever get rid of my anger? I don't have any. Which is nonsense. So I can never get rid of it. If I say I have it, so now I can get rid of it. But I have to go through the first stage of saying that I have it. If I don't say I have it, then it's stuck. It's not going anywhere. So I'm pretending to myself it's anyway. Yofi, very good. Let's...
But it's a constant problem.
It's what?
It's a constant problem.
Until we get rid of it, yeah.
I mean, depending on the person. I was filmed for a Nova program. BBC and PBS. And they asked me why I'm not angry with God for losing my eyesight.
Uh-huh. What'd you say?
And I said, I'm not angry with God. There's a purpose in it. I don't know what.
Oh.
Why are you not angry? Because what?
Because there's a purpose. I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know why he gave me no eyesight.
No eyesight?
Eyes. I would suggest that, I want to tread very carefully, but I still have to suggest it because I'm putting it in my head to tell you.
Okay.
That in your hibbodadut, you can maybe look, if you wish, to see if that's really true to 100%. It's probably true to 90%, but it seems to me that you would have to be superhuman, meaning you would have to be not normal, to not have any anger.
No,
meaning there should be some.
It was back then.
No, even now.
Even now, I'm in too much pain.
Right, so we are not built to not be angry at suffering. We don't like pain. We don't like suffering. And our natural response is to be angry. Not necessarily it's the best response or what we should do, but that's what we have. So, it's something to think about. And there we go. Anyway.
Back to the Gemara.
So, our Mishnah told us that One of the differences between capital cases and monetary cases is that in monetary cases and in capital cases, before we got to the differences, the Mishnah started off by saying they're the same. They're the same in the fact that we do Drisha and Chakira. Drisha and Chakira, the two types of questioning. Drisha, the standard 7 questions that apply to all cases: where, when, where, how, who, what, why, etc. And then Chakira afterwards, which are the specific questions about the case. So the Gemara is now challenging that assertion from the Mishnah that monetary cases have Drisha and Chakira.
Right, and they're talking about post-dated documents.
Not right now. At the moment, we're just talking about do we really have Jerusha and Akira? We haven't started the Mishnah yet. We haven't started the Gemara. Post-dated documents are going to come.
I'm just trying to find, where is it saying where the 7 questions are?
Where? We looked only at the beginning of the Masechet when we looked at in the first Perek.
No, I mean, what's some questions?
Yeah, it says in the footnote, one of the footnotes in the first Perek, says okay. What the questions are, but it doesn't say over here.
Because I thought we were going to cover it again.
Later. Well, maybe. Maybe we'll get it. Alright, so, Gemara says like this. Dine Mamanot, מי בעינן דרישה וחקירה? דיני ממנות, מה נתחילו? Do we really need דרישה and חקירה? For sure we need דרישה and חקירה in capital cases, but do we really need them in monetary cases? Reminhu, we had a brighta that we can bring to challenge this. What's the brighta say? Brighta says like this. Shtar shezmano katuv b'echad b'nisan b'shmita. If you had a shtar, a document, and it had written on it, echad b'nisan, the first in Nisan in the year of Shmita. So the document has a date. Okay, top David. The document has a date, and it says the first in Nisan in the year of Shmita. This year. Nisan, we're not there yet, but in Nisan. Now, Ba'u Eidim Amru, along came witnesses, right? Those ones who had signed the document, and they said, Hayechatem Me'idim Ashtazeh. How can you testify? No, sorry, the witnesses came. These are witnesses who came to zomify the document. Two witnesses came along and said, Hayechatem Me'idim Ashtazeh. Ba'alo B'yom Ploni Imanu Hayitem B'makom Ploni. How can you say that you signed on this document when on that day, the first of Nishan in Shemitah year, you were with us in such and such a place? Right, they signed a document, and the document said, on the first of Nisan, the year of Shemitah, we, the undersigned, saw Reuven lend Shimon $100, and they signed it. And they go to court to get the money back. Shimon wants the money back from Reuven. So, two more witnesses come along and say, how can, this is wrong, this can't be. You were with us on the first of Nisan in Shemitah year. What's that called? When two new witnesses come along.
You zomify new witnesses.
You zomify their hazama.
The other question is, Shemitah.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Cancellation of the loans.
Well, okay. We'll get to cancellation later. But we don't get, they don't cancel in the year of Shemitah.
Loans cancel the year.
So this is in the year of Shemitah. This is Nisan of the year of Shemitah. So the loan is not cancelled. A loan is valid from Nisan until the end of the Shemitah year.
Which is
six months. No. Nisan, yeah, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months.
6 months. That's 6 months. Valid document. Tov.
So the loan's more than 30 days.
So that's okay.
And less than a year, which is fine. And the only question is, was it predated and written sometime?
Well, so far, the simple case that we got at the moment is two witnesses come along and say that you were with us on that date. So you've got a classic case of hazama, nachon?
Right.
That's what we learned in Makot. This is how you do hazama. Hazama? You want hazama? Yeah. So, yeah, but from the Torah, Hazaman, the Torah means that you, if two witnesses come along and say that you were with us on that day and that date, and that, therefore, then it's called Hazaman, and they get punished with the same punishment that they tried to give, right? But only in that case, not when there's a conflict. Two witnesses came along and say, no, I don't think it's like that. I have a different document, or I think differently. Then it's not hazama. It's only hazama if two witnesses come and say, you were with us on that day and that date and you're lying because you were with us.
Hazama is if it's only the two, if one lying, it's not hazama?
It's not hazama.
No, because you can't have one witness.
You can't. No, if two came against one, no. You need to only, not until both of them. You need two, a minimum of two to be hazama, because one person by himself can't cause a loss. Can't cause a hefsed to the by one person, so there needs to be two people together could cause a loss. So because they can cause a loss, a hefsed, so they can now suffer the same thing that they tried to cause. But if there's only one who was lying, and he can't do anything by himself, so we don't give him the punishment.
A single witness can do is make something annul it, like saying it's trade meat.
Something acid.
If he comes by himself,
yeah,
and now we won,
he's a
Okay, but he probably they coming both to the basement, yes?
Yes.
Probably one of them was convinced the other or something. It's not.
They're probably both lying, Nachon. Yes. If I've only got evidence against one of them. You're right. The other one that maybe
one it started probably with one. They're telling to his friend, oh, you know, we go to testify against Shimon, and we have a big benefit from that. You will got I don't know $1 million for that.
Right. Uh-huh.
Like you're convincing.
Right. So probably two.
So when he is one, Shuvadai Nichad, it's the process of the Hazama. Like when he will start, when he matliach to that they will be both, now it's Bilya Zama, but now it's process.
It doesn't matter.
Until there will be two, no?
No, the Hazama only comes when two new witnesses come, and they say, Ploni and Ploni, the first two witnesses, were with us on that time and that date.
And they lied.
They must be lying, because they were with us. Okay, they couldn't have been in that place that they said they were.
I only said that when...
But if they said about one person, if two witnesses come along and say, out of these two witnesses, I don't know about this guy, but that guy was definitely with us. Mm-hmm. So there's no Hazama.
I only said that if one comes into the court, to the Beis Din, so it's not... Okay. But probably there is a process until to get to that point that two will come to the court, one have to convince the other.
But one can't come by itself.
It's not logical that they two, without any thing between them, Pitom, this one to make the to go to speak against, and this one want to speak about against Shimon.
Uh-huh.
Probably one will convince the other.
No,
so this is a process of Hazama. Until he doesn't get it that he convinces is the other guy to come with him.
Yeah.
It will not Hazama, but it's a process. It's a Nisayon Hazama when Shesh Echad. Matchili.
No, I have to agree, because the Hazama is not the lying. It's not the them convincing. That's not Hazama. Hazama is
Hazama only when they come into court and say...
No, not even when they come to court and they say.
Mm-hmm.
Hazama only later when two new witnesses come along into court and they stand there and they say, him and him were with us. Now it's Hazama. At that point, until then,
Hazama is the two that come from the... The Edut Sheker or the...
Yeah, Nachon. So the first time, it's just Sheker. It's just Edut Sheker. There is such a thing. But it's not Hazama. Hazama is Mashu Miyuchad. Because at other times, when you have Edut Sheker, and people come and say, you're lying, you're Sheker, so fine, they're lying, they're Sheker, they get whatever they get. But they don't get Hazama. Even though they're Edut Sheker. This is Edut Sheker, this is Edut Sheker. But Hazama is special Edut Sheker. Only in the case where Edut Sheker, two people come and say, you were with us on that day, and that time. Not that I know you're lying for a different reason. You told me you were lying. If you come to court, two new witnesses, and say, these two guys, the first two guys, they're lying. How do I know? They told me. I've got it on recording. He said, I'm going to go and lie now in the case. Right? And you bring that to the court. It's not Hazama. Hazama is in the Torah. It says, they have to say, you were with us on that time and that date. You were with us. Only if they say those words, that you two were with me, with us, on that time and on that date that you said that you saw the...
That was called the...
That's called Hazama.
Yeah, but that was called alibi. Like
alibi.
Yeah. But also, it's not enough one, you need two. That will say, you were with me at that time that you're saying that you saw...
He's killing someone. Only then it's Hazama. Otherwise, it's Edut Sheker. Nachon, it's still not true, and it's Edut Sheker, and it falls away. And
from the two guys that came and saying the lie, conspiracy, it's Edut Sheker. But from the two sides, the two guys, they prove that they lied. This is the Hazama.
But again, the way they prove it, not proving the only way you can prove Hazama to call it Hazama. Miuchad is if you say you were with us on that time and that day. Any other evidence that they're lying is not Hazama. Or something. It's
also this word Le'azim. Uh-huh. It's also inside today in the language in Hebrew. Le'azim et ha'shvua. Somebody was saying about somebody something, and then it's they revealed that it's not the lo nachon. So with הוא הזים את השמועה, like it's he delete the
top. Okay, so here in this case it sounds like hazama. Sounds like what we have is hazama. Someone brought a document to court and said that there's a loan, two witnesses, and then two new witnesses come along and say you were with us on that date. You couldn't have signed the document on the first in Nisan. Says you signed here on the first in Nisan. You were with we were with me the whole day. We were in Sfat. How can you sign the document in Yerushalayim on the first in Nisan? Must be that hazama. So in this case, chidush, the law is it wasn't hazama. Normally that would be hazama. Why not? So in this case, we have an exception to the rule. Shtar kasher ve'edav kasherim. The shtar is kosher and the witnesses are kosher. Even though the other two said they were lying, normally we would believe the hazama witnesses automatically. But here not. Why? Gemara explains why. Chayshinan shema echaruhu v'katvuhu. We're concerned in this case, in case there was a delay and then they wrote it. Here, we're saying that the date, there's a reason why the date might not be correct.
They posted the document.
But they changed the date. They didn't write the correct date on the document. If they were giving witness testimony and they said the same thing, but just in terms of we were there, we saw him give a loan from A to B and it was on the first in Nisan, and then two people came along, then for sure there would be hazama, they'd have to pay the money. But because it's a document that we're proving the date on, we can say that the date of the document is not certain. We can say in this case that maybe they delayed it, there was a delay. Actually, the loan took place at a different time.
But
and they signed it.
Couldn't they figure that out through questioning? I mean, wouldn't that be one of the questions?
When did you do it?
Yeah.
Well, that's... Hold on, let's think. That is what the Gemara is bringing here as the proof for the fact that we said there was Drisha, that the questioning, they were asking the questions. We're bringing this case as proof or as evidence to suggest that there is no questioning, because they would have found it out. So your point is good, that here the reason why they didn't find it out,
because they didn't ask the question,
because we're suggesting here this writer shows that it must be that there wasn't Drisha and Hakira. We wanted to say in our Mishnah, the Mishnah said we have Drisha and Hakira, but we see from this writer it must have been that there wasn't Drisha and Hakira. That's why we ran into this situation.
The reason they didn't do it then,
because you don't need it.
They,
in monetary cases, that's what the that's what the Gemara wants to say.
The reason you don't need it is because they're worried about closing up the loan market.
We'll get to that at the end, the reasoning. But so far, we're seeing.
What I'm saying is, it looks like they didn't do any questioning.
So that's exactly.
They simply went by what the document said.
Correct. That seems to be the flow of the Gemara in terms of bringing this as a kasha on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you have Drisha and Hakira. I've got a brighter where we see that in this case there's no hazama.
And that's why I brought up the question about Shemitah, because it's like one more layer of complication.
We're going to see in a minute why they picked Shemitah. They didn't have to pick Shemitah in order to make the same point.
No, but it's good.
Right, it's good. But you see from this, they didn't need Shemitah to make this point, but later on we're going to bring out a point that you do need Shemitah for. So far, up till now, we didn't need the fact that Shemitah existed. But it just happened to be a fact.
No, so, but nothing's...
No, it's going to say later why it picked Shemitah, but up to this point, we don't need Shemitah. up to this point, if you were learning the Gemara, you would be saying, well, why did we have to bring in the fact it was in a Shemitah year? What's that got to do with it?
Loans.
Nahon, but so far it doesn't make a difference. From what we've learned, it makes no difference.
So, continue on.
Nahon.
Like a good novel.
Right. So the Gemara explains what the problem is. If you want to say, like the Mishnah says, that we do need Drisha and Chakira in monetary cases, how can it be that we suspect that maybe they delayed the document? Exactly your point. How can it be that we have this situation? Because we would have asked them the questions in Drisha and Chakira. Like we would have asked them those questions, and we wouldn't be now in a situation where we have to give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe it was post-dated.
The question I have is, if you're deliberating, can you go back and ask the witnesses more questions?
Yes. We know. Top. So, the Gemara doesn't answer the problem right now. It postpones the problem by bringing in a new Mishnah. And according to the same reasoning, Tikshilacha as Nisim, we should also find the following Mishnah problematic. What's this new Mishnah say? So first we had a Braita, it was a Kasha, now bringing a Mishnah that's also a Kasha, for the same reason. What's the Mishnah say? The second Mishnah says like this. Shtarechov, if you have documents, Hamukdamim, Pasulim, Vamaochorim, Ksherim. If you predate them, if you backdate them, they're Pasul, but if you forward date them, they're kosher. Not allowed to backdate a document, but you can forward date it. What does that mean?
Let's define backdating and forward dating, or post dating.
It means that if today I'm going to make a loan, and I loan you $100. What's today's date?
25th of Kislev.
25th of Kislev. Yofi, Hanukkah, Baruch Hashem. Very good.
We need to use the Hebrew days.
Hanu B'kachay. Yofi, right? It's the 25th of Kislev today. And I make a loan to you, let's say. Now, on the document, if I write on that document the 20th of Kislev, everything's good. But if I write on it the 27th of Kislev, it's now a Pasul document. No, the other way around. If I write on it the 20, if I backdate it, it's good. No, it's not. I was right the first way around. If I backdated, it's no good. If I forward dated, it is good. But I'm not allowed to backdate.
Checks at all points, right?
You're not allowed to backdate to check, but you can Israeli law, it's different. You are allowed to forward date, but you're not allowed to backdate.
For example, writing a check for January 2015, February 2015, March 2016.
That's forward dating. That's okay.
Right.
Forward dating. Jewish law. I don't know what you're allowed to do here, but that's a different issue.
We do it all the time in schools.
Yeah, no, we do, but apparently you're not allowed to. But you're not allowed to. You can't present it anyway. But
right.
Anyway, so why? What's the difference? Why
if you? If you took the loan today.
Yes.
And you was writing the
date of the loan on the document.
And you was right. You wrote the day of yesterday.
Yes.
This will be pasul.
Pasul, and I come to court and I say this is the document. It's perfectly fine. It's fine. It's good. But I go to court with that document and say this is the document. See, he owes me the money. Can I have my money back, please? So that if it was backdated, they rip it up, say no.
What's the logic of you? You
didn't ask the question. So what I'm asking you the question. So what's the difference? So what's the difference? Anyone? What's the difference between the two? Why does it matter?
It has to do with if you sell the property.
Yes.
The loan is backed by property. If you sell the property and it is forward dated, say like the loan was supposedly made on Adar of last year, and it was actually made today. If you sell the property, no one knows that you have the loan. And so the lien is invalid.
Right. So yes, but you got the right words, I'm not sure, a little bit of, but yeah, you pretty much, what's the same like this? When a person takes a loan is often secured on property, mashkon, right? But it's only secured on the property that the owner had
registered.
No, in his hands at that date. Let me think.
Loan is mashkon?
Loan is
halva.
Halva, but there's a mashkon. The loan goes over property. Now, so what happened? Rabbi Abraham, good to see you. Everything okay?
Yeah.
It is now. Now you're here. Big donut kiddish at your. So what's the case? The case is like this. The loan only takes a lien over property that existed at the time of the loan. At the time I loan you money, if it's a loan that's secured, then it goes over all your property that you have at that time. Now, if I backdate the loan, then it means that if I sold any of my property
before you made the loan,
before I made the loan, then the person who bought the property should be fine. He can take that property without any worries, because there's no loan existing over that property. There's no lien. There's no loan existing. Only after the date of the loan is now secured on the property, and then a buyer has to be careful because he might have to give it back. So a buyer that takes property, if I buy from you your car, thank you very much, you're selling your car, and I buy it from you, and I check to see that you've got no loans outstanding at the time, that's great. You haven't got any loans outstanding, so when I buy your car, I know it's mine. However, if you then, the next day, after you sell me your car the next day, you then go and you take out a loan for $100,000 secured on your property, and you backdate it to 3 weeks ago, so it now covers that car that you sold to me yesterday. Now someone can come and take the car out of my hands, say, sorry, that was covered by a lien because the loan came before it. There was money outstanding when he sold you the car. That's why you can't backdate, because you're going to take into account property that wasn't covered by the lien.
What is lien?
The mashkon, right? The bitua, the right? But if you forward date it, then there's no buyer's going to lose out, right? Because anyone who's, because you already had the loan from before then. You already had the loan, so you're not registering the fact that you had the loan for another 10 days, but you still had the loan. So the loan really, at the time that you took it out, now covers all that property. The fact that you didn't register, you didn't write the date until later, it's your own problem. It doesn't damage any third party. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah?
It also works. It also take into account traffic tickets too.
A what?
We sold a car. The person who bought it had all these traffic tickets afterwards.
Right.
So we had to notify DMV that we sold the car.
Right.
After the fact.
Right. If you backdate it, he now gets all your parking tickets. Right.
No.
That would be another reason for not backdating.
We got all his parking tickets. So we had to.
But you have
to take care of it.
A document that was dated correctly. So that's why. Does that make sense? You understood the explanation between the back date and the forward date? Should I draw it?
No.
It's good now. When you say you're okay.
Can repeat.
It's short here. It's easier to see.
And if you putting it for the next month, also okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when. So here, this is the day that you actually took the lesson.
So
we'll call this Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. Right, we'll just keep it simple. Days of the week. Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. Right? So you took a loan on this thing. So what are we saying? We're saying that if you backdate it, and you say the loan actually took place on Sunday, not allowed to do that. Backdating, you're not allowed to do. But if you forward date it and you say the loan took place on Friday, that's allowed. You're allowed to do that. Why? What's the difference between the two?
So forward dating is post dating.
Huh?
Forward dating is post dating.
Yes, post and pre. Post pre. Okay. Forward date. Forward dating and pre. Why? Because if on Tuesday I sold, let's say I sold my car. I sold it on Tuesday. What happens? So the loan, the person I made the loan to is allowed to collect from my property. All the property I had at the date of the loan. Now really the loan took place here. I didn't have a car here. I already sold it. But now I'm pretending the loan took place here. If the document says that, then I've had a car. And the fact that I sold it, I can go to the guy who you sold it to and take that car back and say, no, that belongs, I can collect from your property any property you had at the date of the loan. Really, the date of the loan is here. But because you backdated it, I can now take back property that I couldn't have taken.
Okay, so why this Zelo Beseder is the
case? So here, if it took really place on here, and I actually say it was here. So let's say I had here, I had a boat, right? I had a boat and I sold the boat, right, in between. So what's the difference now? So here, it really took place here. And I said it took place here. Then the person who loses out is the one who's coming to collect, right? Is the borrower, because he doesn't know that there was a boat that he could have collected against. But that's his problem, because he's the one who signed the document on the wrong date. Here we're protecting the third party. When we sold it to a third party, I come and take it from that third party. He had no idea that car he bought was about to be confiscated.
Was what?
What about to be, then I can come and take his car, right? Was sold to a third party, right? We're protecting the third party. Here, the person who loses out is the borrower, because he can't collect now from
the borrower,
property.
The
malveh, right? He can't collect from property because he thinks, or he agreed that the loan only took place on this date. He can't collect from property that
the lender
can't collect. Yeah.
The
lender can't collect from a property that wasn't held at the time of the loan. But that was his own problem, because he postdated it. He agreed to the postdating.
Yeah. Boat's still over. Lender is still over.
Yeah. So the reason we allow postdating is because that's between the lender and the borrower. If they want to date it forward, so that's the lender's problem. But here, if we backdate it, then the people who are going to lose out, people who don't know about the transaction, you're going to come along to him and say, that car that you bought on Tuesday, well, I'm sorry, because actually on Sunday a loan was made, right? And that covered that car. And he could never have known why, because he backdated it.
But when you sell the boat,
yeah,
it's a third party who doesn't know that there's a loan up because it hasn't been recorded yet.
So he doesn't lose out. He's fine. You can't come against him because the loan says it took place on Friday.
Okay. So the person who's lending the money should be aware of the date of the witnesses. The date the witnesses signed the document. What date they put down?
Yeah, because it's his document. He's the one who's going to collect on the document. He's the one who's going to take that document to court.
So
it's his document.
So he should be complaining about the witnesses.
It's his document.
Right.
He made the document. He told the witness to sign here. They didn't make it up themselves.
So he's responsible for the document.
Yeah, yeah. So he's the one who post-dated it.
So if he's responsible for the document, then he's also responsible for any loss.
Uh-huh. So that's the meaning. That's why it's in your hands. If you want to post-date it, fine. It's still kosher. You're allowed to do it. You lose, but that's fine. You're allowed to cause yourself a detriment. No, but you can't cause other people a detriment. That's the issue. The other one.
Okay.